We turn to God's Word this evening to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The text that we specially consider is verses 17 and 18. 17 and 18 of Psalm 139. Let's read the whole psalm, the Psalm of David. Hear the word of God. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We read that far in God's inspired word. The text is verses 17 and 18. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. (Clears throat) Here before us and for our consideration is one of the most beloved psalms in the scriptures. And the main thought that runs through this psalm, Psalm 139, runs through many other psalms that we sang tonight. And it's the thought of God's omniscience, or it's the thought of God's thoughts of everything. Omniscience, children, means that God is all-knowing. Omniscience means that there is nothing, there's no exception, there's nothing hidden from the mind of God. He has a comprehensive knowledge of every single thing in every detail. There is nothing God does not know. That's the main teaching of Psalm 139. And what David does as he pens this psalm inspired by the Spirit is he marvels at the amazing mind of God that knows all things. He marvels at how God knows all of His own actions. Verse 2, Thou knowest when I sit down, when I rise up, when I lay down, wherever I go, everything I do. David marvels at how God knows all of His actions. Nothing is hidden from the eye and the mind of God. David marvels, second, upon how God knows all of the words that David speaks and writes. Every word on my tongue, he says in verse 4, before it is said, Thou knowest it altogether. Each word that I speak tonight, before I say it, has been in the mind of God. And third, everything I do and say, not only, but my own thoughts, before I think them, David is saying, God knows them. Verse 2, Thou knowest or understandest my thought afar off, before I even think it. Perhaps the most awesome part of Psalm 139 is that second section, verses 13 and following, where the psalmist speaks of how God's knowledge extends beyond or before he was even born. When he was yet in his mother's womb, God knew him. God the Maker skillfully and worked to create David and each one of us in our mother's womb. And he knew everything about David before David was even born, before David was even conceived. Verse 16, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, or yet being immature and unformed. And in thy book, or in God's counsel, all my members, meaning all of my parts, were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When there was even not even one body part, God had a knowledge, a comprehensive knowledge of every part and every aspect of you and me. David marvels at this. And for some, this truth of God's omniscience is reason to fear. Is reason to be afraid, to be scared. For if God knows everything and He sees everything and the darkness doesn't even hide us from Him, then He knows all our sin. Then He knows all our lustful thoughts. Every wicked word I have spoken, every secret act of mine, and that makes many afraid, perhaps some of you afraid tonight. But for the child of God who is trusting, was believing in God and His Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not, the knowledge of God, the omniscience of God, is not a matter for fear, but of great comfort and praise. That's what David does as a believer, as a child of God. And that is what we seek to do through the preaching and the understanding of this text. David is marveling and finding comfort in this knowledge of God. How precious also, that's our text, the tone of our text. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. It's exclamatory. It is of praise. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Let us marvel along with the psalmist on this text under the theme, God's precious thoughts unto me. God's precious thoughts unto me. First, his thoughts of me. His thoughts of me. And then secondly, in response, my thoughts of him. His thoughts of me and then my thoughts of him. When David is a believer, an inspired writer, the psalm looks upon his life, he marvels at God's thoughts of him. And notice with me seven characteristics regarding God's thoughts which come out in this text and the surrounding context. Seven characteristics. Really, eight we will see, but seven that start with the letter P to help you remember. Seven characteristics of God's thoughts toward me. And first, is most obvious, it's the word that stands out in this passage in verse 17. God's thoughts are precious thoughts toward me. How precious are thy thoughts? When David speaks of that, he means this, that when God thinks of us, of me, David says, he thinks of us, he thinks of me as precious. That first. Now, fast forward, when we get to the second point, it also means that David thinks of God and his thoughts as precious. But before that, precious thoughts means that God thinks of us as precious. That's amazing. We began with that word omniscience, and that's the theme that runs through the psalm. God knows everything. God has a comprehensive knowledge of every fact. He knows more than the most intelligent scientist. He knows everything about our human body better than the greatest of doctors. He knows all the stars in the sky by name. He knows the number. He knows the events of every part of history and also everything in the future. He knows facts far more than a human mind has the capacity to have. But when we read of God's knowledge here, it is not merely that he knows many facts about us. It's not merely he knows everything about us better than we know ourselves. That's true. But it's that he thinks of us as valuable. That's what precious means. He thinks of you and me, who are children of God, as of great worth. The word precious often is attached to jewels, to gold, to silver, precious things that many people on this earth think of. The jewelry store, or in their bank accounts, or in their garage, their cars, precious. Of great worth and value. When God looks upon this earth, what is precious to him is not what's in the garage, not what's in the jewelry store, what's in our bank accounts. When God looks upon this earth, what is precious to him, you see, is you and me. We are dear to him, of great worth. We who are small, puny, insignificant of ourselves, he says, you are precious. Psalm 36, verse 7, how excellent or precious is thy loving kindness, O God. Isaiah 43, verse 4, God says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee, precious in my sight. To illustrate, when you walk out of church tonight in the narthex, and you tap someone on the shoulder, and you say to that person, I was thinking of you this week, this past week, or I will have thoughts of you, thoughts and prayers with you. When you use that word thinking of you or thoughts of you, you don't mean, of course, that you're going through systematically things about that person merely, but you're having caring thoughts, loving thoughts. Thoughts of that person is precious. And that is why when someone hears that, it is meaningful to that person. And what's amazing is that God says that about us. I'm thinking of you. Secondly, God's thoughts in our text are not only precious, but personal. Personal, that's the second P. Notice the prepositional phrase, to me, David says. How precious are thy thoughts to me. Now, David recognizes that God's thoughts are precious, not only to him. He recognizes that God's people are made up of more than me, myself, and I. And we need to make that point because in our American evangelical church age, it's so often self-focused. And it's all about how God loves me, myself, and I, and we forget that God's love and precious thoughts extend to others, others outside of myself, others outside of my local church, and others outside of my denomination, too. But now, while the church is bigger than me, myself, and I, yet while David recognizes that, and David cherishes the thought, to me also. To me, in a way different than he has precious thoughts to others. In a unique manner, he thinks of me. There is a personal relationship that God has with David and with each one of us that is unique from his relationship, different than his relationship with other people in his church. You and I are not a number to God like we are to the U.S. government. We're not lost in the multitude of his people and his kingdom. But to each one of us, to me, we can say, you can say, he is unique, particular, specific, special, distinct thoughts. To me with a specific DNA, to me with a specific background, with a specific personality, with specific weaknesses and strengths, with a unique body type, with a unique soul that he has fearfully and wonderfully made. Though no one else may think of me as such, and though others may judge me as just grouped under that last name, or unimportant, God sees me and each one of his people as precious, unique, beloved, not worthless. And though I myself at times, and you yourself at times, may feel of your own self as unimportant and worthless, we say, in some depths of depression, yet I can always know that God sees me as his child, unique and precious, personally, from person to my person. Third, God's thoughts in our text are not only precious, personal, a third, particular. And what I'm emphasizing now with that word particular is that it is not to every single person, and that comes out in the text and its context. David says, precious are thy thoughts to me personally, but he makes the point that God's thoughts are not precious toward everyone. Verses 19 and following prove that. It's the part of the psalm that you and I, when we read it, we might tend to think, well, I don't like this part so much. I like everything that comes beforehand. But this part, surely thou wilt slay them, O God, do not I hate them. O Lord, that hate thee, we might hesitate to read and make our own confession, and perhaps for good reason, because we might misunderstand it. But what is clear from this text is that David understands, and God understands by inspiring David to write it, that God doesn't have loving, precious, gracious thoughts to everyone. He doesn't have such a common grace in that sense. The precious thoughts, David says, are particular to me, to his people, to his elect. And we could ask plenty of questions challenging God's decree of election and reprobation, asking why he wouldn't save that person or have loving thoughts to everyone. Well, that would really do us no good. It is God's will. And his answer in Romans 9 was and is again and again to us who question God, who art thou, O man, that repliest against God? Who do you think you are? But now think. Think positively. Doesn't the decree, the doctrine of God's election and reprobation, make God's thoughts toward you and me all the more special and precious? If it was the case that God loved every single person head for head, that he had precious thoughts to everyone in the whole world head for head, then it wouldn't be so special, would it? But now, though he didn't have to have a single loving, gracious, precious thought toward you, and toward me, and to anyone, he did. Towards those whom he had chosen particularly as his precious people. Though few, a remnant, he has precious thoughts toward. I am one of them. Which brings us to the fourth characteristic of God's thoughts: precious, personal, particular, and fourth, pre-existent. From eternity. Marvel at this, people of God. From eternity, before we existed, there was not a moment that God has not thought of us in this precious manner. Before the foundations of the world, we were in God's book, in God's mind. And then the emphasis of verses 16 and following, or 13 and following, even before we were conceived and born, during the time that he was shaping us in our mother's womb, he did so with such pre-existent thoughts, precious, personal, pre-existent thoughts toward us. While abortionists had evil thoughts toward you, refusing even to call you a baby, before your parents perhaps even knew that you existed within that mother's womb, early on God had precious thoughts toward you. While you couldn't even think yourself of him, he had precious thoughts of you, pre-existent. Fifth, God's thoughts in our text are purposeful. precious, personal, particular, pre-existent, and purposeful. In fact, the word thoughts there can be translated aim or purposes. How precious are thy purposes or aims toward me, David says. Jeremiah 29 puts it this way. Verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We will sing, ere into being I was brought, thy eye did see, and in thy thought, my life in all its perfect plan. Perfect plan was ordered ere my days began. Each part of your human anatomy, every strand of hair that grows, stays on your head and falls off, each tear that drops from your eye, every flaw you stare at in the mirror every day, each learning difficulty you struggle with, each vein, each muscle fiber stays intact or gets broken or torn, every bit of protein in your body that indicates cancer, every movement, every blink, every sin, part of his purposeful thoughts that we may not understand as we face them, a part of his plan for good purposes. Sixth, powerful. Who is it that has these thoughts? Well, the psalmist says, oh God. The word God, the name God, means powerful, the powerful one. The sovereign God has thoughts and purposes which are never frustrated. They are effectual. He will carry out what he is thinking. He will accomplish what he has planned. We make plans every day. I make plans for the future. We write things in our calendars. You know what happens? It doesn't happen in the way that we planned it. And we get frustrated. Not so with God. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. His thoughts are his plans that he will powerfully carry out. He will fulfill. And seventh, God's thoughts are perpetual. Perpetual, or a synonym to that, constant. Constant. I draw the contrast, it's not that God from eternity has made a plan for each one of our lives, and sometimes we as Reformed people think of it this way, and it's not this. It's not that God has made a plan for every single thing in our life, determined everything, and then plugged it into the computer system of this world, and then allows it to run as he has determined. That's called determinism or deism. Christianity is not that. That's pagan philosophy. Although he has planned everything, he is giving constant attention to each and every one of his people. Near them, by them, in them, and thinking of them perpetually, he carries out this plan. It's an amazing thought. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her sucking child or her nursing child, that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Even a mother, Isaiah says, may forget her nursing child. In fact, if you think about it, mothers, you can't think about your children every single day and every single second of their lives. But God, who is far greater and far more loving than any mother toward her child, has thoughts perpetually upon his son or daughter from eternity to eternity, constantly. And finally, there's one more description of God's thoughts that is most important, that is implied here, but now needs to be made explicit. All God's thoughts to us as people, the precious, personal, particular, preexistent, purposeful, powerful, and perpetual thoughts, are saving thoughts. They're salvific thoughts. That's what makes his thoughts precious. They are always thoughts of us in Jesus Christ. Loving, gracious thoughts in Jesus Christ. Ask, why do you think that the Almighty God thinks of you as precious, valuable, of great worth? Is it because you of yourself are somehow great and precious? No. It's exactly because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the precious righteousness of Jesus Christ, that covers you from your mother's womb. 1 Peter 1, verses 19 and 20 make this clear. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, it's describing how God has redeemed you. With the precious blood of the lamb, without blemish and without spot. And then this description, who verily was foreordained, this lamb and his precious blood, foreordained, meaning in the mind of God, in the thoughts of God, before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. Why has he from eternity thought of you as precious? Because also from eternity he has thought of his son's blood as precious, covering you. That's why. They're saving thoughts. We apply that to the Old Testament people, David. David in the Old Testament wrote this psalm, and he's confessing such precious saving thoughts of God toward him, even as an Old Testament saint before Jesus had come. And sometimes our minds might think, what happened to the Old Testament people? Jesus hadn't died for them yet. David and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Adam and Eve. Did they go to heaven? And churches nowadays today continue to teach, no, they went to some place called purgatory, some limbo, because Jesus had to come and pay for them yet. And that is not true. That's human thinking. Here is God's thinking, God's thought. He thought of all of those Old Testament people also as covered by the blood of his son. And those thoughts of God were saving thoughts. Saving thoughts. It's not what man thinks that matters, it's what God thinks. They went to heaven and they were saved because of Christ also. But now David speaks not only as an Old Testament saint, but he speaks of God's precious thoughts toward him as a child, as a baby, as an infant. Remember, that's what verses 13 and following are about. "Thou hast covered me," David says, "in my mother's womb." Oh yes, remember Psalm 51. David also says about himself in the mother's womb, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin that my mother conceived me. Of myself I am not precious, I am sinful. Even already in my mother's womb. And yet, at the same time, he says, God has precious thoughts toward me. Even while I was just a spot, a speck in my mother's womb. Because the Son of God would come and represent me and you from womb to tomb. And just as Christ was perfectly righteous in his mother's womb, all the way to the tomb. So that is how God thinks of you and your children in his covenant. And you, when you were just a little dot, while we were weak, even before we could think of him, he thought of us. And that is why we baptize infants. It displays, baptism does, God's precious thoughts toward us and toward children in his covenant. What do you think? What do you think? As you meditate on God's thoughts toward you, what are your thoughts now of him? Three exhortations about your thoughts and my thoughts of him. First, you should be thinking. Not turning off. But you should be thinking and meditating of his thoughts of you. The sermon this evening, the word of God this evening is supposed to lead you not only to think about God's thoughts toward you in church, but as you leave here, as you go home, as you eat dinner with your family, as you go to bed at night, that you are continuing to think God's thoughts after him. This is David's example here. That's what David is doing. David is thinking and continuing to think upon God's precious thoughts. In verse 18, you will notice that the word "if" is in italics. If. David is not saying "if once in a while, if in the future I decide to, then I will count your thoughts. If I should count them," no. The word "if" is not really there in the original. What verse 18 is expressing, what David is expressing as the inspired psalmist there in verse 18, is his intention. It is what I will do and I am doing. I count them, he is saying. And I've found that as I am counting them and continuing to count them, they are more in number than the sand. And by counting, he does not mean he is engaging in mathematics. He's not thinking of numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1,000, and so on. Counting numbers. By counting, he means recounting. He means meditating. He means thinking clearly, pondering upon God's precious thoughts toward me. And then David does something that It's very unique in this verse, verse 18 especially. He tells us what happens, or at least implies it. What happens as he recounts God's merciful, precious thoughts toward him? It's as though he falls asleep. Picture David on his bed at night. Maybe he's a shepherd yet as he wrote this psalm. He lays a mat on the sand under him and he looks up at the stars in the sky and the many sheep that he has to take care of. As he's sitting there or laying there on his bed, he's thinking God's thoughts toward him. And as he thinks about the many thoughts, precious, personal, particular, powerful, perpetual thoughts of God toward him, he says they're more in number. God's thoughts, more in number than the stars in the sky, and the sand in the sea. And he keeps counting. And then notice between the words sand and when in verse 18, there's an abrupt shift in thought. I count them, they're more in number than the sand. And then when I awake, I am still with thee. That abrupt shift in thought indicates, or may very well indicate, and David falls asleep pondering the thoughts of God. And you can read Psalm 63 to see that that is what David indeed does in bed at night. He meditates upon God's thoughts toward him. And with a start, he wakes up in the middle of the night. He looks around, what have I been doing? When I awake, I am still with thee, he says. So you see the example of David. I'll exhort you, though your phones and your devices and your television screens are not evil of themselves, and you may watch that at night, I tell you, put them away. Put them away. Stop the hyperactive, shallow thinking on social media and screen entertainment. Stop for a little while. Stop for a long while. And count God's thoughts toward you. They're far more precious, God's thoughts toward you. Far more precious are they than the flashing lights on your screen. Say with David, and count them, and fall asleep to it as you count. Second, as you think or count God's precious thoughts, the second exhortation of your thoughts toward him, marvel. Marvel. That's what God is, what David is doing through the psalm toward God. Marvel. Be amazed at God's thoughts toward you. David is making an exclamation here in this text. Not only are thy thoughts toward me precious, but I think of that fact as precious, David says. Why would God think of me this way? And Psalm 8, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Man is nothing. God is, well, God. And to help you marvel, remember God, remember who God is. God is infinitely great. The word in this psalm is sand. Now think of sand, what David may have slept on at night. Think of sand. Think of all the sand in all the world. On all the beaches and all the deserts. If you were to gather all that sand together, that would be a lot of sand, right, children? A lot of sand. Take all the sand in the whole universe, and it's all the sand in the whole universe. What, as it were, fit on the tip of God's finger? That's how great God is. Let the greatness of God blow your mind. Now, if you were God, and you're not, thankfully so, but if you were God, you wouldn't care about sand. You go to the beach, and you walk on the sand, and you brush it off like it's an annoyance. Now, God looks upon you, who are like grains of sand to Him. And you who are like a grain of sand in His finger, He thinks of as precious. And more than that, you and I who are like a grain of sand in His hand, He condescends unto and thinks of us as precious not only, but He comes unto and saves us, makes Himself like us in Jesus Christ. And for each grain of sand that we are to Him, He has thoughts as many as the grains of sand in the universe. Marvel at His precious thoughts toward you. David counts God's thoughts. He marvels at God's thoughts toward him. And finally, he finds comfort in God's thoughts. And I call you unto that. Here is what I know will happen, even though you are called to think upon God's thoughts and marvel at God's thoughts. You will stop thinking about God. That's our sin. I'm not encouraging you unto it. I'm not excusing it for it. I'm reminding you of your human frailty, that even though you've been exhorted by God's word tonight to think upon Him and to marvel at His great thoughts toward you, you will stop. You will, like David, fall asleep. And sometimes that sleep will not be merely literal sleep, but it will be spiritual slumber into sin. And one day that sleep will be the sleep of death. And here is my comfort, therefore, and your comfort. The last phrase, when I awake, I am still with thee. David means this, when I stop thinking upon God, when I literally, physically fall asleep and can't think about God anymore, He keeps on thinking of me. And when I awake and I wonder, what have I been doing? Why have I lost consciousness of God? He reminds me, I am still with you, thinking of you constantly while you slept. And when I stop thinking of Him because I have strayed into sin in a spiritual slumber, as a prodigal turning to pig food in this world, He continues thinking precious, merciful, gracious thoughts toward me in such a way that He will turn me in true repentance back to Him and open my eyes of faith to see and awake and realize, though I have stopped thinking of Him, He has never stopped loving me. And one day when I sleep the sleep of death, and can no longer think of Him with my human brain, I will awake in glory and realize and find I am still with Him. What a comfort. And how it makes me and how it should make you want to exclaim more than ever before, O precious, are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. Amen. Let's pray. O God, how precious are Thy thoughts unto us, how great the sum of them. We think, we marvel, we find comfort in Thee. Never cease, O God, to stop thinking upon us as Thou hast promised, and enable us more and more, even in this life, to meditate on Thee. For the glory of Thy name, amen.